So as you all undoubtedly recall, we're discussing text 5 of the Nectar of Instruction. Krishneti yasya giritam manasa dhyeta dikshasti chet pranati pis shabhajantamisha shushushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindari shunya vidamitsita sangalatya. Reviewing, we discussed that this verse pertains to how we exchange, or with whom we take part in these six exchanges mentioned previously, dadati, pratigrinati, and so on. We talked about the idea that the qualifications of a devotee may be either seen either digitally or analogically, in an analogical fashion. That is to say, they may be either qualifications that are either on or off, yes or no, or they may be questions of degree. When questions of degree are involved, greater care needs to be taken to understand things clearly. One must select proper persons with careful discrimination. We talked about these three levels of qualification, Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam, and we discussed them as they're described in different places. What are some of those places? Srimad Bhagavatam, Upadeshamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Chaitanya Charitamrita tallies with Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the discussion that we had. And we got it all in chart form. We talked about the qualities of a Mahabhagavata or Uttamadhikari as described in several places, both in these scriptures and also in Srila Prabhupada's reports. You undoubtedly remember all of that.
Would it be possible to get some printouts of this?
Yeah, you can have printouts, huh? You want printouts? What have I got in the way of printouts? First of all, we didn't bring the printouts that are the printouts that I was looking at. Oh, and we didn't even bring my outline that I was looking at. Ooh. Okay. We're going to have a less than smooth presentation visually today, but that's okay. Yeah, you can have a printout. Just anyone else want a printout of this? Ooh. Jeepers, creepers. Who's got little memory sticks and so on? Who has those memory keys and can take it that way? Two guys only. Some people are nodding their head. That means you've got, let's see, hands. Head nods don't help as much. Okay. So those who have memory sticks can get them that way, which is better for you than printouts anyway, right? And who's going to arrange to get printouts for the rest of the gang? I'm not going to arrange it. I'm not FuturistCon managers. FuturistCon leaders. Who's going to arrange for these printouts? Okay. You're on.
Not FuturistCon manager, but...
PresentistCon manager. You just got sucked in. This is how it works. Okay. So we looked at the qualities of a Mahabhagavata as seen from different angles of vision. And we discussed this point that when an Uttamadhikari wants to preach, he comes down to the Madhyam platform. I'm really at a loss for that.
Mm-hmm.
By bike? Oh, then you'll be back real quick, huh? Okay, you know where they are. They're sitting on my desk. Where they don't help me very much. This is called the tendency to make mistakes. We discussed this point that a neophyte devotee is defined as a person who's chanted the holy name of Krishna even once. And I think we gave some evidence on that point. Let's see. Interesting that this goes one way and wants to go this way. Yeah, that's good. I can move back and forth. Yeah, okay. Someone's got that quote? Yara Mukhe Shuni Ekbar, Krishna Nam She Puja, Shrestha Shavakar. Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. Eka Krishna Name Kore Sarva Papa Koi, Nava Vitta Bhakti Purna Namo Hai Tehoi. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the nine processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. Okay. The little orange button and it turns on, except when it doesn't turn on. Well, how about resetting it entirely? That'll do it, right? You know how to do it?
Can I just
turn it off and turn it on again? Yeah. What's it doing? Now it's off. Or now it's on. Which is it? It's off, right? So you can turn it on? Yeah, there we go. Thanks, it's on. All the glories of technology. Okay. I was thinking around. So that was the point, that a neophyte devotee, even a person who's chanted Hare Krishna once, is already qualified. He's a Kanishtha Adhikari. He's eligible to render devotional service. We got onto this very interesting point that from one point of view, even initiation isn't required. The holy name is non-different from Krishna. It's all powerful. So simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna offenselessly, one can achieve everything. The key word, of course, is offenselessly. And chanting offenselessly is difficult to do. And therefore, especially for those who don't have the greatest of backgrounds, pure chanting of the holy name is a formidable task. And therefore, the guidance and instruction of the bona fide spiritual master are, in principle, required. Or in practice, required. In principle, just chanting of the holy name is enough. But in actual practice, one needs to become purified to chant properly. One needs to purify the body and mind by following the regulative principles so that one can chant nicely. So therefore, Vaishnavas following the path of Sri Narada and his successors endeavor to establish a personal relationship with the Lord by receiving the grace of a bona fide spiritual master through initiation. So initiation is not required, but it is required. I think that's about where we left off in our last session. And now let me juggle. So offenseless chanting is required. Srila Prabhupada says, if one accepts the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. One should therefore be initiated properly according to revealed scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, the next point is that the characteristics of even a neophyte devotee are extraordinary. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, this is the purport to Madhya 15.106, that a person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, Krishna iti yasya giritam manasa driyeta. With such faith in the holy name, one may begin a life of Krishna consciousness. But an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendence himself. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitana Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nityamukta Vinnata Namanam. Having such faith, one should continue to chant the holy name. When one is situated on the neophyte platform, one cannot understand the devotional ingredients of a pure, unalloyed devotee. Can't understand what he's made of. However, when the novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from such a devotee and thus gradually become purified. In other words, any devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee, even though he may be in the neophyte stage. By his association, others may also become Vaishnavas. Even a neophyte devotee engaged in deity worship in accordance with the regulations set forth by the spiritual master is in a position superior to that of a fruitive worker and speculative philosopher. Even a neophyte devotee is a pure devotee. Anyone who believes that the holy name and the Lord are identical is a pure devotee. even if he's a neophyte. So see the position of a neophyte devotee. There are karmis, some of them are very pious, they do a lot of charity, they do philanthropic work, humanitarian work, they may be very cultured people and do a lot of charitable things and you know, be very, very kind and generous and so many things, dutiful, honest. There may be gyanis who are very intelligent, very serious about understanding the truth by philosophical discrimination. There may be yogis undergoing great austerities to realize the Supreme. But they're all less than a neophyte devotee who's has firm faith that there's no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. Any devotee is already in a superior position. Any questions so far on anything we touched upon last time, this time? Yes.
I wanted to ask about this point that we were speaking, that even if someone wants, say, Krishna, he should be accepted as Vaishnava. If someone, for example, say Krishna, but he even don't know what that means.
He started. We got the example the other day that some Muslim was being preached to. Sir, please chant Hare Krishna. Talk to me about Hare Krishna tomorrow. I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. Leave me alone. Hey, you're chanting. Actually, even the person who's not chanting Hare Krishna is a Vaishnav. Who's a Vaishnav? Every living entity. Every living entity is actually a Vaishnava. They've just forgotten that they're Vaishnavas. They're thinking that they're Shivites, that they're devotees of Durga, that they're family people, or they're Americans, or Germans, or Englishmen, or this or that, or whatever. But in their constitutional position, actually all living entities are devotees of the Supreme Lord. And they've just forgotten by the influence of Maya. So someone has begun chanting the holy name of Krishna, even once. He's a very fortunate person. Out of millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of, first of all, there's all the lower species of life, which is the majority of the living entities. Then you get to the 400,000 human species, and they're mostly in total ignorance or total forgetfulness. And somebody has chanted the holy name of Krishna. Out of them, some small number have said, you know, what's Hare Krishna? Ooh. He started. Therefore, he's taken to be a candidate or an eligible person, an eligible devotee. Kanishtha Adhikari. Prakrita. Prakrita means materialistic. But bhakta. Somehow he's chanted Hare Krishna. Of course, it's very liberal consideration. He's not following any regular principles. He may not have any serious faith. But we're counting even him to be a beginning devotee. Yes?
I wanted to know more specific, the difference between the pure holy name and
Holy name is always pure. Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta. Holy name is always pure, but we're not always pure. And therefore our realization of the holy name is not always pure. Therefore when we're chanting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says someone is chanting, but it's just syllables. It's not the holy name. He's just chanting some syllables. That consideration is there. Because it's also a question of consciousness. Elsewhere it said, even if a person chants, you know, the pronunciation is not right, But if the consciousness is right, Krishna appreciates. Yes, he's chanting. Prabhupada gave the example that someone's chanting Sri Guru Charana Padma. So Guru means cow. Prabhupada said, I am not a cow. But I understand that the chanting is intended for me. So this is Krishna also. He's called Bhavagrahi Janardana, the personality of Godhead who takes the feeling of the devotee. Even the child who's calling for the mother may not pronounce the mother's name very distinctly, but the mother understands that the child is calling for me, and so the mother responds. So consciousness is significant here. It's not just a question of mechanical chanting. Therefore, even a person who's chanted once may be counted, but there's a difference between that person and the person who's more advanced, even a neophyte who's more advanced. It's not that the neophyte has only one bracket. There may be neophytes. You know, once you get down to the finer gradations, there are neophytes, and there are advanced neophytes. There are neophytes who are halfway between. A person who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee, even though he's a neophyte. But there may be some person who doesn't even have that much belief. Still, he chants. He's more of a neophyte, but he's in there. He's chanting. That okay? Something else? Yes?
This kind of person who chants one time the holy name or when we are preaching or family, if someone other we offended someone, one of them, is considered as...
Yeah, it's an elparad. Actually, we shouldn't offend anyone. Vaishnav doesn't want to offend even an ant. And what to speak of offending the demigods? That's mentioned as one of the 64 principles, isn't it? The nectar of devotion. Don't offend the demigods. Don't offend the demigods. Why? And they're servants of Krishna. That Dhruva Maharaj's mother's Suruchi, she offended Dhruva Maharaj, and later he became a pure devotee, and she got the reaction of Vaishnava Parada. He was just a kid, nothing Vaishnava. He was just a less important son, so she insulted him, and later he became a Vaishnava, and so her son died. She had to suffer. So we shouldn't offend anyone. Shouldn't offend anyone. But then especially those who have taken up the chanting of the holy name, or those who are practicing devotional service. It's not that, you know, well, it's okay, he's not an Uttamadhikari, so we have a license here, we can blast him. We never find that it's all right. Vaishnava aparads are okay as long as you're not committing an aparad to the guru or to an uttamadhikari. But madhyams and kanishtas, you know, give them hell. You know, get out the keyboard and start typing. No. Yes.
Maharaj, now you gave us a lot of different description of Mahabhagavat and
Madhakari
and like a pure devotee now. And then we find in the scriptures we find lots of different statements. Like here, the bottom line: therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari.
Well, we're coming to that. Remember the rule from yesterday, from Friday.
Not just thinking something from the purport.
From what we haven't talked about yet in the purport.
Yeah.
Don't jump ahead there.
But the other statements are like, it has to be a pure devotee, as it is pure devotee. So how can we find that?
Therefore, discrimination is required. It's not just, you know, look in the book and okay, got it, page 42. Yep, polio hit number 177. It's not so boom, 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 boom. Anything, just material science, learning how to drive, for example. Okay, driving, you know, there's a batch of rules, but then it requires some understanding. It's not just a batch of rules. You know, you shouldn't go through a red light. But then there are times when you do go through a red light. Because if you don't, you're going to die. For example. It's not just turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left. You know, parallel parking, which is supposed to be a hard thing for people to learn. It's not just, you know, do it every time the way you did it at driving school. After a while, you find out that there are, you know, there's an art to it. There's an art to it. So, similarly, understanding. You know, to understand anything, to understand chemistry, to understand, it's not just, okay, let me look in the book, look up the table, okay, this. Finally, to really understand it, you get to know those chemicals better. What they are, what they do, how they work, what it really means that this thing is belongs to this group or has a molecular weight of this or that. You get a deeper understanding of it. It's not just numbers on a chart. Right? So it's like that with these instructions. They're not just formulae, but they're formulae that require deep understanding. Any kid, any fourth grader can write on the board, E equals MC squared. And he has some understanding, maybe, of what that means. Maybe. But that doesn't mean that he's Einstein. That his understanding of it is the same as the understanding of a physicist. So these things are giving us knowledge, and we're guided even in the very beginning stage by these statements. They're not to be discarded. Well, you know, this is only for the professors to understand. They're for us. But to really understand these statements requires deep thought and proper guidance. Otherwise, why is the spiritual master required? What does the spiritual master do for us? Why can't I just read the book? But the spiritual master enables us, he guides us, he instructs us, he sets the example of what that instruction represents. He corrects us when we blow it, commends us when we get it right. And his mercy brings upon us Krishna's mercy, by which actual understanding takes place. Yasya deve prabhaktir yata deve tatami tasyaite katita yartha prakashante. It's all manifest. Tatapi te deva padam bhujam dvayam prasadale shana guhite janati tatvam. The person who gets a little fragment of Krishna's mercy, he can understand. Not the person who thinks about it and thinks about it and thinks about it and thinks about it. It requires Krishna's mercy. And that comes also through the spiritual master and through the process of service. It's not just I read and I attend a university course and now I know what Vaishnavism is. But I actually have to practice Vaishnavism. Then I can get some understanding by the mercy of Krishna of what this is all about. Can I have some water, by the way? Yes.
How to talk to you? To get some good deep realization, you need the mercy of the master. But already to to get somebody to some field master, you need already some visualization.
Yeah. Therefore, it's by the mercy of Guru Krishna Prasadepai. By the mercy of Krishna and by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master. Only by the mercy of Krishna do we get a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, we mentioned some days ago that Gaur Govinda Maharaj had said that we should cry to Krishna. That I'm looking for your pure devotee. Please help me. Because it depends on Krishna's mercy, finally. Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, after wandering and wandering and wandering and wandering, millions of lifetimes, Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, some very fortunate living entity, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, gets the mercy of Krishna and Guru, and Papilata Jeev gets the seed of devotional service. In other words, at every stage, it's not only our own power. Really, we're at the mercy of Krishna at every moment. And the sooner we pick up on that, the better. Krishna, I'm at your mercy. Please help me. And Krishna becomes kindly disposed. He directs, just like that Dhruva Maharaj. He was sincere. He was looking for Krishna by the clue given by his mother. So Krishna saw, this boy is sincere. Let me help him. So he sent Narad Muni. And by the instruction of Narad Muni, the Dhruva Maharaj got to see Krishna. So it's a cooperative effort. It depends on our own sincerity, our own good fortune, Krishna's mercy, the mercy of the spiritual master. They're all the mercy of the Vaishnavas, that some Vaishnava is kind to me. And even without my interest, he may say, what's this guy wasting his life for? Let me do something for him. Help him out. Straighten the guy out. You weren't even looking, but he was looking for you. It may work that way.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you said that when my guru believes that I heard this explanation in the association of the devotees from different, but I don't know the source, that this is a reaction in last life we rejected somebody who was born by or something like that. So if you know,
I don't know any Shastric statement to that effect, that if you lose the spiritual master it means you rejected a bona fide spiritual master in your last life. It's plausible, but I don't know of any Shastric statement to that effect.
There's so much different explanations,
Well, there could be so many possible explanations, but I wouldn't sign my name to one without having enough evidence for it. That's certainly plausible. You know, you do something bad and you're going to get something bad in your next life. We know that principle. But we can't specifically say, because you did this, now you got that, unless there's some evidence for it from authority. Something else? Yes?
This first statement.
Yes.
And follows the order of bona fide spiritual master.
We read this in Nectar of Devotion also, that a pure devotee doesn't have to be an uttamadhikari. Even a beginner can be a pure devotee. He's following the principles of pure devotional service with faith. He's counted as a pure devotee. This pure devotee term, therefore, moves around a lot. We heard that all the members of ISKCON were pure devotees. Why only Siddha Swarup? All the members of ISKCON are pure devotees. Then sometimes we hear that, you know, practically no one is a pure devotee. So the term moves around. It means different things at different times, or it's different, yeah, different intentions are there at different times. But here we find that even a beginner can be a pure devotee. He's a beginner, just like a mango. The unripe mango is 100% mango. Can't make juice out of it. Doesn't taste like anything sweet. But it's mango. Yeah, a little thing that big on the tree and green as a parrot. But it's a mango. And give it time, and it will at the end be a mango also, but it will be full of juice, it'll be aromatic, it'll be so nice. So one may be a beginning pure devotee, or one may be an advanced pure devotee. The beginning pure devotee is not very, doesn't have very clear understanding of things, his faith is not, may not be very strong, his knowledge may not be very strong, he may not know how to appreciate other devotees, but he's begun the process of pure devotional service. And we read that the other day, that krame krame, step by step, by the chanting of the holy name, he'll become advanced. Not right in front of me. I think it's there in the book someplace. Someone see it? Right off? Page 53. Want to read it?
Zahar Kumara Shraga Se Kanishka Jan Krami Krami Kim Hong Bhakta Hari Vedi
Kama. The person who has soft faith is a Kanishta Adhikari, but step by step, by following the process, he'll become an Uttam Adhikari. Same thing, the mango is just unripe mango, but by staying connected to the tree and getting water and getting sunlight, it will become full ripe mango. Yes?
I want to ask, is it correct to say that because of one devotee is pure devotee because he is strictly following these principles of spiritual master and disciple.
Even the person who has firm faith in the holy name, even he may not be able to follow all the principles in the very beginning. But because he has strong faith in the holy name, he believes it. Even he can be considered a pure devotee, even though he's in the most neophyte stage. Now, we don't want to go around, listen, I'm a pure devotee. Okay, I smoke, I drink, but you know. Trinadapi Shunichena, one has to be very humble, not think that I can do any nonsense and I'm still a pure devotee. But if one sincerely follows the process, faith in the holy name, faith in the scriptures and the spiritual message, he's going to make progress quickly. Anything else here? Yes?
All this kind of anger or vision with the pure devotee maybe can help us to.
Excuse me?
All this different vision of the pure devotee are in relation with the computing, but.
You've got to talk loud and slow because you don't have a strong English accent.
All these different visions of the pure devotee can be related with the equal vision that you find in the scriptures and the realized person see everyone equally.
Well, that's there. I mean, a person who's on the highest platform sees even a cow or a dog or a dog eater equally, because they're all spirit souls. But we're being asked in this verse to discriminate also. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. A person who's chanting the holy name. Not just any living entity, not that the cow, the dog, they're all pure devotees. the rickshaw wala, everyone. But a person who's chanted the holy name, he's counted as a neophyte devotee. Krishnasya, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadhyay. A person on whose tongue Krishna is there, he's counted as a beginner. Now, sure, the person Uttamadhikari sees everyone as a Vaishnava. But we're not being asked to become Uttamadhikaris here. We're asked to become Madhyamadhikaris and make distinctions and say, here's a devotee, here's a non-devotee, here's a demon, here's an innocent person, here's a first-class devotee, here's a second-class devotee, here's a third-class. And now the focus is, what's a third-class devotee? A person who simply chanted Hare Krishna even once can be counted as a third-class devotee. That's the entry-level third-class devotee. He's chanted the holy name even once.
Maharaj, you said that these six kinds of exchange among devotees are reserved especially for devotees. And now we find this explanation that the devotee actually is one person who once chanted. And then we find also the statement like Mayavadis, we shouldn't.
Therefore, further discrimination may be required. Oh, he's chanted Hare Krishna once, but he's speaking all rubbish. Mayavad, Prakriti Sahaja. We'll come to that in a moment, in fact. That a person may be counted as a devotee and still may be counted as bad association. That point is coming. Yes?
How to reach Uttama level through the senses, through emotions. Because first class devotee is expert in logic and shastic arguments. How to reach through emotions?
How to reach the Uttamadhikari level through emotions? By following the regulative principles and chanting the holy name. It's not that just, you know, kind of push your feelings. I feel it. I feel a little bit. Push it a little more. I feel a little more. It's not like that. These emotions come by purification of heart. Emotions are already there, but they're covered by Maya. And they become uncovered by the chanting of the holy name. Emotions means love. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. This eternal love for Krishna is already there. But Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta. The heart has to be purified by hearing, by chanting, by serving, by following the regulative principles. Kariyayuga, then it comes up. Okay, let's move forward a little bit. Prabhupada says, Madhulila, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatipis chabhajantamisha. An advanced devotee should respect a person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated on the transcendental platform, chanting the holy name with faith and obeisances and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that serving Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Whether Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavad philosophy. But a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly will not be so contaminated. A properly initiated Vaishnav may be imperfect, but one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is all perfect. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnav. It is the duty of the householder to offer respects to such an unalloyed Vaishnav. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. So this point is being made to us, that it's not just a question of formalities, but we have to see who's sincerely chanting the holy name of Krishna. Even a person, and Prabhupada gives the example that there was one famous British musician who wasn't initiated, but who was very sincerely chanting the holy name of Krishna. Prabhupada said, we have to offer him all respects. He has faith in the holy name. He's chanting the holy name wherever he goes. Someone was telling me that he said that wherever he goes, he keeps a bead bag in his pocket. This person. Oh, Prabhupada said, we have to offer him respect. He said, why? He's not initiated. It doesn't matter. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyata. On his tongue, Hare Krishna is there. At least in our mind, we have to think, here is the Vaishnava. We have to offer him respect. Yes?
This person, I guess it was mentioned George Harrison, mm-hmm. And I heard that George Harrison, he asked even for initiation, Prabhupada, for joining the temple. What should I do, Prabhupada? Should I like, shave up my head? Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, no, just stay as you are and just bring Krishna in your songs and things like that. So how can you understand this?
I wasn't at the on the scene when whatever took place, and I don't have a clear picture of what Prabhupada told him on that occasion, or why Prabhupada said what he said. One time someone asked Prabhupada for an initiation, very sincere person, you know, he's doing all kinds of service, he seemed to be so, he was a newcomer, just coming. Prabhupada said, you first understand the philosophy. He said, otherwise today if you come on sentiment, tomorrow you'll leave on sentiment. Not just that we want to get people initiated. That's mentioned in the purport also, that a person should be initiated jigyasu shreya uttamam, when he's serious about understanding the absolute truth. Not to say that this person wasn't, but it's not just Swamiji, I want to be initiated. Oh really? What's your name? Okay, now your name is.
No.
There's some joke floating around in ISKCON about someone who's a little over eager to initiate. And if he meets a new devotee, he says, hello, my name is such and such Goswami. And your name is. Yes.
Why is householders mentioned in this verse?
Why are householders mentioned in this verse? Why are householders mentioned here? Yeah.
To me, it seems that this should be the attitude of every devotee, not just
the household. Yeah, it seems like every devotee should be very eager to appreciate Vaishnavas. Why are householders mentioned here? Yeah, the duty of the householders make advancement by being charitable and hospitable to Vaishnavas. The duty of householders especially is to be charitable, to be hospitable, to engage in these exchanges, to offer something to the Vaishnavas. Yeah. The brahmacharis and sannyasis, they're worshipping the deity, they're engaged in prachara, they're doing so many, you know, they're all the time busy in direct spiritual activities. The householders are busy in their household duties, but this is especially important for them. to give charity to Vaishnavas, to be hospitable to Vaishnavas. So here it's being emphasized that don't think that the Vaishnavas are only the people who are initiated, or even that every person who is initiated is necessarily a Vaishnava that you should be eager to associate with. You should honor anyone who's chanting the holy name, but we've come to that already. If a person is a Kanishtadikar, is not of good behavior, one should avoid him. Yeah, that's as far as we're going. Such people as the Prakriti Sahajas should be respected within one's mind, but their association should be avoided. Page 50. One who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed and is of the lowest grade. Tamasa, ignorance, anger and ignorance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that a Vaishnava who is not of good character should be avoided. A Vaishnava is one who has taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life, but if one is not pure and still has motives, then he's not a Vaishnava of the first order of good character. One may offer one's respects to such a Vaishnava because he has accepted the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of life. But one should not keep company with a Vaishnava who's in the mode of ignorance. This is Lord Kapildev in the third canto, 329. So, therefore, it said, Manasadriyeta. In your mind, you should respect, oh, this person is chanting Hare Krishna. This person is a Vaishnava. But that may be as far as it goes. You may not mix very intimately with these persons. Even Prabhupada warned about one person who was chanting Hare Krishna, but Prabhupada said you should be careful, he's a rich man. You know, you don't want to get entangled. You know, rich man means sense gratification. You should be careful. So we may offer respects to anyone who's already a devotee because he's chanting the holy name, but especially if we see that these signs of bad character are there, we may offer our respects from a distance. We won't criticize, we won't offend. We'll appreciate all these Vaishnavas. But if his character isn't good, we may be affected by that. So we know he's not a first-class devotee, he's a neophyte devotee. He's chanting, he's a devotee, he's wonderful. He may be a criminal, but he's chanting, right? That's an extraordinary thing. But I may not want to associate with him. Just in my mind, I have to think he's a Vaishnava. Okay? And one should associate with Vaishnavas who are more advanced. Srimad Bhagavatartanam Aspado Rasikai Saha Sajati Asaye Snigdhe Sato Sangaspato Vare. One should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees, and one should associate with the devotees who are more advanced than oneself and who are endowed with a similar type of affection to the Lord.
Can you explain what is a similar type of affection?
Well, in the advanced stage it means that that there may be devotees who have a particular taste, but before we reach that stage, the word is svajatiya. Svajatiya saye snigdhe. One who has, just like the Ram Bhaktas, they should associate with other devotees of Lord Ram, so that they'll get the opportunity to hear and chant Ram Katha, Ramayan. They'll talk about Hanuman, they'll talk about Sita. They'll cultivate they'll reinforce one another in their devotion for Lord Ramchandra. And the Krishna devotees should associate with other Krishna devotees. And especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas should associate with other Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And our Prabhupada followers, we like to associate with other Prabhupada followers, because we enhance our mutual faith and mutual understanding and appreciation of Prabhupada's instructions. Yes?
Maharaj, this point, the last point, somehow or other, it appears to me like a little contrast, a contradiction, because on the one hand, it is said that a more advanced devotee should avoid the association of a less advanced devotee, but at the same time, a less advanced devotee needs the association of a more advanced devotee to make advancement.
Well, there's different kinds of association. The more advanced devotee associates with the less advanced devotee, but in a different way than he associates with other advanced devotees. Therefore it's said, friendly with whom? Equals. Merciful to whom? Less advanced. And respectful to whom? More advanced. Therefore, the devotee has to learn to associate. Not that I become very buddy-buddy with those who are less advanced, because then I'll become less advanced. If I seek out the association of those who are less advanced, I may be affected by their mentality. If I want to become, you know, just do the things they do, adopt the spirit that they have, fit in with them. But you may give them opportunities for association. You want to be merciful to them. Just like some very neophyte people, they may be, you know, engaging in kind of nonsense activities. Not that we have to engage in nonsense activities also, so that we can fit in with them. But we may invite them. Come on, we're having Bhagavatam discussion. Come on, we're having kirtan. Come on, we're doing something spiritual. So you give them opportunities, not that they're giving you a great opportunity, you know, throw frisbees with them on the lawn or we're going, whatever it is that people who have a little faith in Krishna might do, but when they exhibit their material attachments. Otherwise, we should be careful not to be affected. Now, advanced devotees, they may do all sorts of things by which to catch someone, but we should be careful.
How do we understand actually advancement of devotees? Is it necessary seniority or?
How do you understand the associate? Who's advanced? Who's considered senior?
Who's more spiritually developed?
Who's more spiritually developed? There's some proverb Prabhupada quotes that one becomes old by knowledge. The Prahlad Maharaj, 5 years old, 5 years old boy, as Prabhupada used to say, at 5 years old, he was more senior than the demigods, who were thousands of years old, because of his advanced devotion. So, but other considerations are there. In our Vaishnava culture, a person is senior, first of all, by age. What is that? Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam. So, a person who's the devas, or the Lord, or the demigods, the Brahmins, the Guru, and Pragya means respectable persons. So one may become a respectable person by age. This is every culture of the world. If they're worthy of the name culture, they have some conventions for respecting older people. You know, the elders have to be, and in Indian society, it's very strong. You know, Americans, you know, they'll talk back to their mother or father. Joan, I hate this. Get out of my life. You know, he's talking to his mother. You know, Indian boy can't even dream of such a thing. They're so respectful to their parents. Just practically worship their parents. In the Bible, it's also there. You should honor the father and mother. So why? They're senior. Of course, with the parents, we have special relations. But anyone, older person, has to be respected. That's simply culture. Prabhupada was saying very, very heavy things to some official. And Prabhupada remarked later on to the devotee who was with him. He said, I can speak that way. You can. Prabhupada said, because I'm older. Because Prabhupada was older than the official. By etiquette, the official had to take it. But a younger person would be considered an upstart speaking that way. But an older person has, you know, privilege. So by age, one becomes senior. Seniors, older persons are to be respected. By initiation, one becomes senior. Who was initiated before, he's senior. Doesn't matter, he's less advanced. Still, he was initiated earlier. He's senior. By ashram, the sannyasis are given seniority. Although they may have been initiated, but they're sannyasis. They may be younger, but they're sannyasis. So by ashram, by age, by initiation, and by spiritual advancement. Spiritual position, yes. Temple president. Sankirtan leader. GBC man. Whatever. Somebody's in a hierarchical position. He should be respected. It's so strong that the Brahmins were meeting with Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was playing hooky, as they say in America. He was disregarding his duties. And on the plea of being sick, he was staying home and reading Bhagavatam with the Brahmins. And the Kaji got the report from his physician, this man's not sick, he's doing such and such. So he came on the scene. What is this? I hear you're reporting sick, but you're actually... So when he walked in, all the Brahmins stood up. Kaji wasn't a Brahmin. He was a Mlecha. He was a meat-eating Muslim. But they all stood up because he was the Kaji. Therefore, it's considered that Krishna's power is there in him. He's by his pious activities or by Krishna's arrangement, he is in this higher position. So all the Brahmins got up and offered their respects. This is culture, you know. It's not that a cultured person when the principal of the school walks in or the president of the United States walks in, hey Jack, how you doing? And naturally he has to offer suitable respect. That's culture. Practically culture consists largely in offering respect to others. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vaishnava, he offers respect to all others. So these are all considerations of respectable seniority. Age, position, ashram, date of initiation, and especially spiritual advancement.
Maharaj, I'm also concerned that if a person's been in the movement longer than you, you should respect them.
Yeah, that's generally initiation, but even if he hasn't been initiated, somehow he's been around a long time, he's considered, he's somebody. Just like Prabhupada, so many years, 11 years or something, he wasn't initiated.
11 years.
He wasn't initiated, but he was a very respectable member. He was, by that time, a senior member, although not initiated. Someone who's done a lot of service. So he may not be initiated, but oh, he's considered a respectable person. Yeah.
Actually, Prabhupada was taking into consideration this with somebody who wants to take responsibility. He was thinking, he was always considering this person like a more advanced.
Yeah, that's, if you come forward to do service, you're advanced. Someone who comes forward to do service to Krishna is, by definition, advanced, out of millions of living entities, he's coming forward to do service. And someone who comes to forward to do more service is more advanced. The more you serve, the more you're advanced. When we say spiritual advancement, what do we mean? It means you're doing a lot of service. Now, that service may be hearing and chanting, it may be distributing a lot of books, it may be answering the telephone, it may be whatever the service is. Service is voluntary. This person has volunteered, and he's volunteered a lot. He must be advanced. Now we look at other things, you know, we see this person's done lots and lots of service, but he's smoking. Still, we have to appreciate how much service he's doing. We look at the service, we see that he's smoking, and we may say, well, you know, hang back a little bit here. But still, I have to respect this person. At least in my mind, I have to think this person is doing, he's chanting, or even he's hardly chanting, but he's serving. Chanting, hearing, serving, something he's doing, we have to take into account. Okay? Yes?
I want to ask about all these principles that now we mentioned. Is there some gradation between them? Because some of them look like they're more on the material platform.
Therefore, you have to discriminate. There are gradations. Person, obviously by age, he's offered a kind of conventional respect. Not the same. We don't think, oh, he's older, he's a sage. But we know that I have to offer respect, just as, you know, people who are to be offered protection, old men. Women are to be respected. Person who doesn't respect women is uncultured. That's not a sign that he's really advanced in spiritual life, that he sees a woman and, you know, like, lets her know that she's like a piece of garbage. That's not culture. Yeah. Culture is that he respects. Now, he may respect, you know, from a distance, the way one respects a tiger. But he's respectful. Prabhupada, there was some devotee who was teasing. They were in the zoo. They were probably walking and they were in the zoo. And the devotee, one devotee was teasing the lion. And Prabhupada, you know, stopped him. Prabhupada, after all, he is a lion. He's the king of the beast. Before I commit a stree aparad, matravat paradareshu, as one respects one's mother, one should respect all women. Again, it's culture. A society that offers no respect to women is a very lousy culture. It's, you know, a batch of savages. Practically, you can tell what kind of culture it is by how the women are respected. Nariyastu. What is that? What is Sangita? Yatra Naryastu Pujante Tatra Ramante Tatra Devata. Where women are respected, where women are worshipped, Pujante, there the demigods are happy. Yatra Naryastu Pujante Ramante Tatra Devata. Where women are honored, the demigods are happy. So, again, it's not that now we're going to start, you know, we honor women so much that we're going to cozy up to them. We understand that men and women shouldn't mix, and that's part of honoring them. You know, this so-called advanced civilization of equality where they offer, you know, they respect women equally by, you know, cozying up to them and exploiting the hell out of them. That's not actually respectful or civilized. It's just cheating. You know, I respect you as my equal. Like politics, we respect your country as being on an equal footing with our country. You know, and we have sent our, you know, our military people to surround your country on all three sides because we love you so much. Mm-hmm. So in Vedic culture there's separation, but there's honor, there's respect. So, but the respect, not that, but there's, that's different from the respect honored to a pure devotee, to an advanced Vaishnava. And we will read in this verse how one should respect an advanced Vaishnava. So yes, there are gradations, there are conventions, there are different conventions, how you respect. We see Krishna's entering Dwarka and he's respecting the different people. They're all offering him prayers and obeisances and so on. And some of them he's nodding to, some of them he's offering obeisances to, some of them he's, when he meets the Pandavas, he bows down to Yudhisthira because Yudhisthira is the king. He offers blessings to Nakula and Sahadev because they're the younger brothers. He embraces Arjuna and Bhima because they're equal. So different ways of honoring or associating with different people. Okay. Yes?
So how do we view devotees who have left the movement? A regular and also just anyone?
Regular, anyone who's left, he's not an ordinary person. If you read Bhagavatam, Narad Muni says the person who's started and left is not like an ordinary karmi. He's not an ordinary karmi. So we should recognize this person has done some service, maybe a lot of service. So, all right, in an unripe condition, he's fallen down, but he's not like an ordinary person. So, if possible, we should do whatever we can so that he'll want to resume his service. Not that, you know, we should be happy, now this person's left, make sure he doesn't come back. But we should be happy if someone revives his devotional mentality and wants to serve. Okay, we're moving forward. So we're marking here that one should associate with devotees who are more advanced. Those who are, again, those who are even neophytes, we respect within the mind. Dikshasti chait pranitibhis tabajantam isham. Those who are initiated and serving, we actually offer obeisances to. And those who are advanced, we should serve. Shushushaya bhajan. What is that? Shushushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindari shunya ridamiti tasangalapya. These people we want to associate with, these Vaishnavas, advanced Vaishnavas. No matter how you slice it, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, the association and service of a Mahabhagavat or a perfect Vaishnava are most desirable. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoy sharushanga, Krishna prema janme teho puna mukhya anga. The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. We want to associate with devotees, and especially with advanced devotees, and especially with a devotee who's on the highest platform. And those devotees, how do we associate with them? By service. By service. And surrender. How is it fit? Faithfully serve them. Faithfully serve them. Why? They're anya, ananya manya, nindari, shunya, vidamipsita, sanya labhya. Their hearts are pure. There's nothing there but devotional service to Krishna. Krishna she tomara, Krishna dite para, tomara shakate acha. Krishna is yours, you can give him to me. This is the position of the advanced devotee. Krishna she tomara, Krishna dite para, tomara shakate acha. You have the power to give Krishna to me, because Krishna belongs to you. Uh-huh. Sadhava Hridayam Mayam. Bhagavatam? Someplace. Said Krishna says the devotees are in my heart and I'm in the hearts of the devotees. They don't know anyone but me, so I don't know anyone but them. So if we get the association of that kind of person, Sangalabhya, that kind of association is most desirable. We can get Krishna by that association. One should not remain a Kanishtha Adhikari. One should try to raise oneself to the Madhyama Adhikari status. And that's the next point. One should not imitate an advanced devotee. One should not imitate the behavior of an advanced devotee or Mahabhagavat without being self-realized, for by such imitation one will eventually become degraded. Don't try to fake it. Faking it does not get you there. It's the way down, not the way up. One will eventually be degraded. One shouldn't try to pretend that he's an advanced Vaishnava, that he can act like an advanced Vaishnava. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is completely the opposite, that I'm the lowest person. One should always think oneself, everyone else is more advanced than I am. Not that I'm practically, I've made it, I'm an Uttama Adhikari. Everyone says it and it must be true. One should be very careful. Then Prabhupada makes this very good, very valuable point. The devotee should also know his own position and not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. I should know what I am. Am I a Kanishtha? Am I Madhyam? Am I Uttam? I should have some idea of what my situation is. This is all being described here in the Shastras. Where do I stand? Let's take a look at myself, honestly. And not try and fake it and pretend that I'm more something that I'm not. Here's where I am, really. I'm not such hot stuff. Yes?
Right. We find so much information about how we should be as an active devotee. Mm-hmm. Like Brahmacharya should act on this platform and like grasp on this platform. But then if we honestly like observe ourselves, we can see, okay, actually here I am and there is a standard, there is an ideal where I should go come. But when I artificially try to force me on this standard, then there's no integrity in my personality, in my own character. It's not me, I'm split somehow or other.
Well, it's not that one can't aspire to a higher position or follow the principles for promotion to a higher position. But one has to do it legitimately. In other words, suppose I say I want to be a brahmachari. So I may recognize that I'm really a neophyte brahmachari. I'm just off the street. You know, I've just come out of, oh my God, I don't even want to talk about it. And, you know, my mind is not quite where it should be. But, you know, I've heard the message about how much harder it is to perform devotional service if I'm going to mix up with the girls. And, you know, I really want to follow these four principles. And I recognize that what I thought was enjoyment is really suffering. And I really want out of that. So I want to be trained. So let me be a brahmachari. So he accepts the brahmachari principles, he accepts the brahmachari rules, but it doesn't mean that now he's in your face with everyone, you know, he's got his brahmachari profile by which he's now, you're kind of strutting like a peacock because he's a brahmachari and, you know, he's got his peg shoes and he's got his amulets and he's got his you know, monster tilak, and he's got everything, so that you know that he is really a brahmachari. But within his heart, it's, you know, he's still thinking about his old girlfriend, and you know, maybe writing her letters on the side to see if she'd like to become a devotee. You know, he should be realistic about where he is and aspire to advance, but not try to advance by faking it. The sahaja position is basically fake it and you'll be there. You know, fake it and you'll be there. That's their approach. If I dress like one, I'll become one. Dress like a gopi and I can become a gopi. You know, they just somehow think that by acting the part, they'll get there. And that's not the recommended way to do it. One is recommended to follow, to accept where I am. That, okay, I'm not in ecstasy. Why am I not in ecstasy? Well, look at my material and arthas. How could I really be on the platform of ecstasy, bhava, when all these anarthas are in my heart? Maybe I'm getting some glimpse of something by the association of advanced devotees, but I'm not an advanced devotee. Otherwise, you know, looking at these symptoms of an advanced devotee, why not this, why not that, why not detachment, why not real taste for chanting, why, you know, taste for hearing mundane topics and, you know, all these other things. You know, why is all this there if I'm on the platform of bhava? Wait a second. I must be still, you know, someplace and maybe down in the Nartanavritti there, or, you know, maybe I'm, or, you know, hey, let's face it, I'm not even doing bhajan. Or I'm not in the position of these initiated devotees who've taken vows and are following them. You know, you get some new guy, you know, he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's the hottest thing on the block. You know, wait a second, these people who are initiated and following, you know, they've surrendered. It's something. So realistically, we have to assess ourselves. We see in terms of our mundane qualifications, you know, that I'm educated, or I'm from the culture, or I'm, you know, I this or I that, you know, whatever it is that, you know, I've got an IQ of this or that. Doesn't matter. We have to go by the yardsticks given to us by the Goswamis and see where we actually stand. Right? Therefore, Prabhupada, one should know one's own position, not try to imitate. One should try to follow. If I'm a neophyte, let me follow the more advanced devotees, whether Madhyam or Uttam. Let me serve the more advanced devotees. Let me associate with them. And not try to pretend that I'm more than I really am. Because then I'll have problems. Right? You fake it, and then people buy it. Maybe they think that you are what you pretend to be. Then you're really in trouble. Because now you've not only cheated yourself, but you've cheated others. And they're going to help you cheat yourself. Right? And someplace inside of you, you're going to be thinking, wow, you know, what do I do about this? You know, everybody, you know, it's like, how did I get myself into this situation? You know, everyone's respecting me like this, but I know that, you know, I'm down here.
But maybe they're right.
Yeah, maybe they're right. We sometimes flatter ourselves. Sometimes, you know, at 9 o'clock we flatter ourselves that we're really hot stuff. By 10:30 we're thinking, uh-oh, you know, and then 11 o'clock we're back up again. So we should, you know, have a scientific understanding of what we are. Should we charge ahead and try to finish up? We have a few minutes, and maybe we'll take a few extra. There's, of course, an essential discussion here about diksha, dikshayati yas. What is that? Dikshayati yas chintna paniti bhis. Right? Chabajantam isham. Dikshasti chait manitibis. Chabajantam isham. a person who has diksha. So diksha is not merely a ritual. Prabhupada quotes this very important verse, Divya Gyanam Yato Dadyat Kuryad Papasya Samkshayam Tasmat Dikshayati Sa Prokta Deshike Tat Pakorvida. The process, let's see, I've got a nice translation here. So. Diksha is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge and vanquish all reactions caused by sinful activity. A person expert in the study of the revealed scriptures knows this process as diksha. Prabhupada mentions that it involves serious inquisitiveness and surrender. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. This verse, I think you know. Tad Vigyanartham Sadguru Meva Abhigaj Chet. When one is serious about spiritual realization, it's not just a passion. And because of all the propaganda going on about diksha, let's clear up a few things. Is formal initiation important? There's a discussion. 1973, February 22nd in Auckland. How important is formal initiation? Prabhupada said, formal initiation means to accept, officially, to abide by the orders of Krishna and his representative. That is formal initiation. Officially accept. Yes, sir. I shall accept. I shall do whatever you say. This is initiation, official acceptance of the job. That's all. Now you formally accept, and if you do not do the duties, then where is the question of other function? There's no question. Initiation means this is the beginning of accepting the orders of Krishna and his representative to carry out. This is the beginning. That is initiation. Just like if you enter in an office establishment, so you accept the terms of service. That is initiation. Then you go on serving, you become promoted, you get salary increase, you become recognized, you become officer, you become big officer, like that. That word, very word, initiation, suggests this is the beginning. Initiate means to begin. Diksha, there are two words, divya, jnana. Divya Jnana means transcendental spiritual knowledge. So this is the D part of Diksha. And so Divya is D and Jnanam and Kshapati, Kshapayati. That is Ksha. Prabhupada doesn't explain it, but Kshapayati means destruction, destroying. So destroying sinful reactions. D, Divya Jnana, and Ksha, Kshapayati. Kshapayati. That is called diksha, the combination. So diksha means the initiation to begin transcendental activities. Therefore, we take the promise from the disciple. You chant so many times. Yes, sir. You observe these rules and regulations. Yes, sir. That is initiation. He has to observe, he has to chant, and then everything comes automatically. Otherwise, you just get initiated as a fashion. I got initiated with a person. He was coming to the temple. He was doing everything. Then he got initiated along with me, and then he never came again. And we found out why. He was a student at Brooklyn College. He was doing some study about Krishna consciousness movement, and the culmination of his study was to get initiated. And he wrote his paper, thesis, whatever it was. Yeah. But he got out of it what he wanted.
But he made vows.
Excuse me?
But he made vows in front of God.
Yeah, he made vows and all of that. But that was, that's what you have to do to get initiated so that you can write your paper. So therefore, initiation, simply the formality is required, but it means, yes, sir, I agree. I will do this. Otherwise, what's the meaning of your initiation? All right, you initiated, but you began and then you stopped the next day. So, initiate and follow through. Because again, there's all this stuff about diksha being something very ephemeral. You know, you get all these explanations about how you can be initiated from someone who's on another planet, and you know, all this very interesting stuff. So here's something from Harinam Chintamani, chapter 6. This is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Guru will give proper teachings concerning the holy name, and after having established faith in the holy name in a person's heart, he will formally give him the name of Krishna, or a mantra containing the name of Krishna, to chant as his sadhana. This is diksha. Sound like something we're familiar with? So yes, obviously it involves transmission of transcendental knowledge. All of these more esoteric or deeper things are there. But this is diksha that the spiritual master teaches you. When there's some faith, he gives you a name, he gives you the mantra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this is diksha. They make it something so practically unrecognizable. Yes.
Before, you also mentioned something about the Brahman initiation, that is formal diksha.
Yeah, this means, of course, this is mantra. This is mantra. He gives a mantra with the name of Krishna. Generally, the name is given at the time of initiation, at the time of this diksha. Again, ISKCON has its way of doing it. Gaudiya Math has its way of doing it. Yes, first initiation, second initiation. Yes.
The statement of Prabhupada that said like the first initiation can be more like freely.
Yeah, Prabhupada said first initiation freely, second we should be strict. Many times Prabhupada said that.
What does it mean about
it? It means we're giving people the holy name, giving them a chance. But then when they, for further confirmation, this is upanayan, coming closer to the spiritual master, upanayan sanskar, second initiation. For that we should be strict. Now you're being certified that you're a little advanced. You're being given the mantra, you're being allowed to worship the deity. We're not going to be so liberal about that. In the beginning, to give you a chance, we'll give you the holy name, we'll give you an opportunity, but now we're getting more strict. To worship the deity, to receive the Gayatri Mantra, you have to be more serious. You have to show that you've been serious. Strict. So Prabhupada said, liberal with the first initiation, strict with the second. Yes.
It's something practical. That means that for worshipping the deity you need second.
Yes. Deity worship, cooking for the deity, dressing the deity, all of these things, that requires second initiation. Sometimes for some emergency, temples have sometimes done something else, but this is our standard. And it's not to be taken lightly. To cook for the deities, everything. Second initiation. You go here, I'm sure you're not going to find anyone who's not second initiated dressing Radha Madhav or, you know, cooking. Okay, we come to the end. One should accept an Uttam Adhikari as Guru. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advises the devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. The devotee should also know his own position, not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some practical hints to the effect that an Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism. One should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of Uttam Adhikari. a neophyte Vaishnav or a Vaishnav situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples. But such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master. Any discussion about that? Yes.
Very often you mentioned before the example of the mango.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we chanted once the holy name, we are already a mango,
mm-hmm.
but still we are a little green mango.
Yes.
And so I try to combine these two things. Like Uttamadhikari is like a ripe mango.
Yes.
Really truly, he has reached the perfection stage.
Yes.
And we need such a perfected devotee to show us how to come also to the same stage.
Yes.
Otherwise, if he's something in between green and yellow, not fully ripe, but a little ripe, he can just bring us to this position, not any further.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's just to take a really ripe mango to get the real juice and the real.
Yeah. That's what's being said here.
So, how we can recognize that when, for example, when you get really, when you can see you get initiated sometimes very early, like after 1 year, after 2 years, practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes you have no idea. You know, but
well, we talked about that earlier. It requires education. It's not that we just want to initiate people quick, convince them that we're hot stuff and that they should make these vows to be, you know, to be faithful to us forever. And they didn't know what they were getting into, who they were swearing allegiance to, what's going on, what the rules were. We should educate them. Therefore, Prabhupada said this book should be distributed in all the schools and colleges. What to speak of the Brahmacharya Ashram, it should be in every school and college. Everyone should be familiar with this. It's something. But we're being given some indication here. What's a Kanishadhikari? What's a Madhyamadhikari? What's a Uttamadhikari? What are the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given some practical hints that an Uttamadhikari makes others into devotees, just like Narad Muni has made so many, a hunter and a murderer and a child and a snake. We saw Prabhupada made so many devotees all over the world. Prabhupada said, you know, so many people are speaking Bhagavad Gita, but not one person became a devotee of Krishna. Now thousands are coming. This is a hint, Prabhupada said. So we should know what is what.
When there are no
Uttamadhikaris, what do you do? What do you do? I know I'm looking for an Uttamadhikari. What do you do? That's one thing you can say. Well, you know, by this definition, he's not an Uttamadhikari, but by that one, he is. Good enough. Or you can say, well, couldn't get an Uttam, I'll take a Madhyam. Take what you can get. Or you can say, I'll hold off. You know, I didn't find one, doesn't mean there aren't any. Pray to Krishna, send one my way, or send me in his way. Any other options you can think of?
Going back to Prabhupada.
Yeah, I mean, that you can see where these people are coming from. They see a dilemma here, they see a very difficult problem, and they see a solution. You have to accept an Uttamadhikari. Well, here's an Uttamadhikari. So they've solved the problem. And it all works really, really well, except it's at the expense of the philosophy. Otherwise, it's a, you know, boom, it's neat. Can't get better than Prabhupada. There's no, Prabhupada's a sure thing. There's no question about whether Prabhupada's an Uttamadhikari. So you just surrendered to Prabhupada, you got an Uttamadhikari, everything's fine. Except that you did it at the expense of the entire process. You accepted an Uttamadhikari by rejecting what's in his books. Small problem. Perhaps a bigger problem than the one you started out to solve. You know, now you've swindled yourself into thinking that you're the disciple of an Uttamadhikari. The Uttamadhikari is definitely there, but are you there? Is the connection that you imagine that you have really there? Are you really the initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada? Because you took, I mean, even from arguing from their paper, there are 11, you should take initiation from one of 11 people who are the authorized Ritviks. Prabhupada didn't authorize any others. So if you got initiated by the temple president of Bangalore, for example, your initiation is bogus, because right there in the July 9th letter, Prabhupada says, these 11 acting as my representatives. There's no 12. And this is what should happen henceforward. That means forever, by their argument. So too bad, your initiation is bogus.
Is it not the society, in our institution, is it not the society or GBC's responsibility only to authorize Uttamadhikari to...
Well, to make clear what the GBC does, the GBC doesn't really authorize anyone. The GBC has made clear that it doesn't certify anyone to be any kind of adhikari. I could look up their thing on the subject, their resolution on the subject. Here it is, I think. Yeah, let's see. True. Oh gosh. I'm showing you all my mail. Okay, let's see. I don't know where this is. This is the GBC's official position. Srila Prabhupada consistently said that his disciples would themselves become spiritual masters. Guru, sadhu, and shastra all support this standard way of continuing the disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada said that his disciples would become regular gurus, and that each of their disciples would thus be a disciple of my disciple. On the strength of our Vaishnava tradition and the statements of Srila Prabhupada, the GBC concludes that Srila Prabhupada intended his disciples to be regular gurus after he physically left us. As a matter of managerial responsibility, ISKCON's ultimate managing authority, the GBC, regulates who within ISKCON may perform the service of initiating disciples. When the GBC allows a devotee to take up the service of initiating, it does not thereby endorse him as an Uttamadhikari or pure devotee, or certify his having achieved any specific state of realization. Rather, the GBC indicates that it has no objection to his initiating disciples within ISKCON. Each prospective disciple before initiation should become familiar with the qualifications mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's books as those that a spiritual master ought to have, and decide for himself which senior devotee, if any, to approach for initiation. Within this context, the choice of whom to select as one's spiritual master is ultimately the prospective disciple's own. Okay? Okay? So that's the GBC's stated position on the subject. They're not endorsing anyone as having attained any particular status. All they're saying is, we don't see a particular problem here. We don't see, obviously we have some responsibility here. We really can't allow this person who's, dressing like a gopi and doing this Nikunja thing to be initiating disciples in ISKCON. I mean, that just can't fly. Or this person who's, smoking, or this person who's, things that are, other things that may be less dramatic but obnoxious or in some way objectionable. We really don't want to allow that. Or persons that we really think, this guy's got a problem and he shouldn't do this. So we may have some objection. Or this person, even, he's too young, or whatever, they may have some objection for someone. But all they say is, okay, this person, we have no objection. That's as far as they go. Sure, it would be a lot easier to have someone else make your decisions for you. So that you could blame them later if the decision turns out wrong. Sorry. Yes, we have to stop because we are way over time. In fact, we should stop. And we will, I guess if there are further questions from Klaus on this subject, we can continue tomorrow. All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.